The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local in studio with us. We're going to be talking real estate right now. Real estate locally with Sheree Kepler with RE/MAX. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, John. How you doing today?
We were just talking about you don't drink. We're never going to get along. You don't drink coffee.
I'm an avid tea drinker.
And you don't like coffee because of the taste. And I told her, folks, that I was the same way and I hated half and half. But when they came out with these creamers that taste like your favorite candy, it's like, you know, I just finished a creamer that makes your coffee taste like a creamsicle.
It sounds delicious.
It was. Anyway, we're here to talk real estate, not coffee. So many things happening locally with real estate. What is, and by the way, folks, you can ask Sheree a question at 884-9910. Our phone line's open. What's the biggest real estate question that you're getting as we start this new year, 2026, Sheree?
I believe it's a question that spans multiple facets of our life is, should we make a decision now or wait?
You have these people waiting for a change in the interest rate.
Yeah.
And even if it happens, it's only going to be, what, a 0.25 or half of, you know, a 0.50 interest rate. Meanwhile, the other people are going to scoop up the properties that you would fall in love with. And if you fall in love with a certain property for sale, I don't think you should wait, you know, for a little tiny break in the interest rate. Like 0.5%. Anyway, I interrupted.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I try and relay that to buyers out there, you know, sellers who are also trying to move on and buy.
What are forecasts pointing to?
They're saying we're really going to level out in the 6% range, which is pretty much where we are right now. We're sitting at, I think for a 30-year fix, we're sitting at about anywhere from 6.1 to 6.25. Mm-hmm. And really, I think it's going to level out and stay there. Yeah. They don't see much movement. So you might as well take advantage of the market before, you know, other people start figuring out that, oh, it's not going to change much.
They're still coming in, right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, they are. I think we, especially locally, we have a wonderful area here. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks to a lot of people, not only for tax reasons, but our lifestyle, recreation, our...
I think the biggest thing pushing people now are these, and, you know, I'm not knocking them, but these crazy landlords. they're just passing on the cost, right? Their costs have all gone up, and that's why rents have gone up. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to real estate. How are market conditions changing from what we saw just a couple of years ago?
I mean, it was pretty wild a couple of years ago. I feel like we're getting more balanced. We're getting healthier. Buyers have more time to make decisions. Sellers are pricing more realistically. And I'm seeing a lot more negotiations again, which works great for both parties. You know, we're not just flying in hot, overbidding, and sellers are, you know, overpricing homes just ridiculously, and
don't negotiate. I know.
Yes.
I know. During the red hot times, I hate that. You know, take it or leave it.
Absolutely. So I think it's a great time to get out there really and see what you can get for your money.
Sooner the better. I mean, we still see growth in Northern Nevada, and so how is that influencing real estate?
Like I mentioned, great area. We have so many pros. We continue to attract people from neighboring states for our jobs, lifestyle, and relative affordability. I think that steady demand helps support our market locally. And even as things normalize, it's one of the reasons our area has remained resilient compared to many other regions.
So we talked about interest rates, mortgage rates, what, 6% you said? Some people holding off, waiting for that tiny drop in that interest rate. But that's not the whole thing now. It's not just interest rates, right, that are part of the conversation. They're not the only factor, are they?
No, which is what I try and, you know, give people the knowledge of, that interest rates might be where they are, but the fact that we can negotiate a little more now, you have room to negotiate maybe a lower sales price. You have room to negotiate like a seller credit towards your closing costs. And really what I'm seeing is the biggest point of contention is your monthly payment, right? It's what we can afford. So we're looking at how can we get to that goal of what is my monthly payment and where do I want it to be? And there's so many different avenues you can take to get there. So I see a lot more people just thinking about, you know, what their monthly payment's going to be, the long-term affordability, and just overall value they're getting. They're not overpaying anymore. We're getting to a more stable place of affordability.
Value to me is very important. You know, I'll sacrifice my the place I fall in love with just because, well, this has a better deal. You know,
yeah.
And some people take advantage of that, which I think is wise. What should somebody be doing right now if they are right now looking to buy a home here in 2026?
Sure. I think it all starts with preparation. Talk to a lender early. Understand your credit. Know your numbers and just have realistic expectations, which in part falls on talking with a realtor as well, because we can help guide you through that whole process. And even if you haven't spoken with a lender yet, we're happy to walk you through everything, hold your hand, explain all the questions, because it is a very confusing process if you've never done it. So I think that's our job. And even if you're months away, just get educated now, and it'll put you in a stronger position when the right home comes along.
Sheree Kepler at Remax.net. Her phone number 775-771-1558. Or you can Google, I'm sure, your name, and come up with your background and all. That's a Sheree spelled, I've never known another Sheree, by the way. C-H-E-R-A-E. Kepler at Remax.net. So big picture, what's one piece of advice you'd give anybody thinking about buying or selling in 2026, Sheree?
Sure. I think it comes down to just focusing on your strategy and not being fearful of where the rates are at and what everyone else is doing. With more balance returning to the market and affordability slowly improving, I think this can be a great time to make a move. And if it aligns with your goals, then let's do it. Let's make it happen. And don't be afraid to reach out with questions. Not even if you feel like they're dumb questions, because there's no dumb question, really.
I feel better then.
You'd be surprised. I mean, we all have questions. When we're not knowledgeable in that field, it feels dumb, but it's not. So
you can ask a question now, folks, 884-9910. Where are most people coming from now in northern Nevada? I swear it used to be 95% Californians. And I'm noticing folks from other states, namely what?
I'd say we're seeing, you know, a lot coming just from states where affordability is an issue, and like Washington, Oregon. I mean, you don't see it from states that are similar to ours, such as Idaho or, you know, Utah per se. But I'd say it's still about 80% California, and the rest are surrounding.
What reasons are people giving you from these out-of-staters for why they want to live here?
Once again, just business-friendly tax environment for one, personal tax-friendly environment. You have no state income tax, low property taxes in comparison to many places, like lifestyle, recreation, and
the way it looks, too.
Yeah, just right. But what you can get for your money. I have people that come over here from crowded California cities, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can get an acre for way less, and they have all the room in the world, and they're so excited.
Oh, people fall in love with mountains, and I even hear people talk about, oh, we have the best sunrises and sunsets.
Oh,
which,
yep.
Okay, now, technically, I'm sure the rest of the country has pretty much the same sun. How could ours be different? But they swear that it's true. I love Nevada sunsets. They are beautiful, but why don't the other places get the same sunsets?
I think it's just you're happier here anyway. So the sunset and sunrises seem better. So those mountains, you can't beat them either.
Is AI messing with the real estate business?
I haven't seen intrusion with that. I don't feel like it is. I think people are maybe becoming a little more informed, which is great. So maybe they're actually getting the information they need. I don't think it's a bad thing. And hopefully, you know, AI is what you feed it. So hopefully it's all great. But I haven't seen too much of an issue with that.
I haven't either. And I think one reason is real estate is a people business. It's people relationships and such.
Yep. AI's only going to tell you so much.
The closest thing, Zillow. Okay. Is Zillow a positive for home buyers and sellers, or is it a curse?
I actually find it a good tool to compare because I feel like people have some knowledge at their own fingertips. So I'd say Zillow is pretty accurate in relation to what I tell people. And so they're not just only hearing it from me. They're seeing it, you know, in their own research. And I've found it to actually be pretty good tool to use.
Now, all they use is how much houses on the same street sold for, right?
Correct, which Zillow has a certain way, you know, of doing market comparisons, which is why it's great to have that base knowledge. But there's a lot of factors that go into when I run a... like a market analysis of your home. And I factor in, like I usually walk your home first and I'll factor in, you know, oh, have you done upgrades and what have you done to landscaping? And Zillow doesn't know that. So it does take some human factor.
That's very personalized.
Yes.
What you do.
Which I'm happy to do a market analysis for anyone. Any sellers out there want to know the value of your home, just reach out.
Reach out, folks. Sheree's number, again, 775-771-1558. Final minute. Anything else, Sheree?
Really, just I want you to let you know, I'm so easy to access. Like I said, call, text, email. I love to help everyone and anyone. I really try to personalize every client experience. So please don't be afraid to reach out.
Well, God bless you.
Once again,
to spell Sheree, if you're Googling or anything, her actual email is Sheree Kepler at remax.net. It's spelled Sheree Kepler at remax.net, or Google Sheree Kepler Reno, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I come up. I'm there.
All right. Awesome, Sheree. It's great seeing you again.
Yes. Thanks, John, for having me. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. I'm John Potter, live and local. Open topics now. And phone lines open, 884-9910. We'll see what we talk about next. Maybe it'll be up to you. You're next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, coming up on 1020.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1FMTalk.com.
So, folks, what do you think of 2026 so far? I'm John Potter, live and local. Maybe this news that we had about what happened in Venezuela, where we had just about the perfect transition there with no lives lost among American servicemen and women, with the Maduro apprehended, brought back here, and maybe that news marks the start of great news, 2026. God, I hope so. It's just the third day of the new year. And did you know January 1st wasn't even always New Year's Day? For centuries, I think, all the way back to the ancient Romans, New Year started in March. And then for hundreds of years after that, right up through, I think, to the 1700s in Europe and Britain and here in the American colonies, as we were back then before independence, the colonies, New Year's Day was in March. And for reasons that make sense when you think about it, you know, spring started the planting season It's the time of natural beginnings, maybe a more logical choice than a day in the middle of winter. But for us, in our lifetimes, it's January 1st, and I guess we all have our own reasons to celebrate the new year, New Year's Day. A friend of mine who is sadly no longer with us in my old hometown, my friend was a lawyer who only did DWI cases. He did those exclusively. Always used to tell me that New Year's was his second favorite time or day of the year. His favorite was St. Patrick's Day. But for me, and maybe for you on New Year's, there's this principle that's involved in having a new start, you know, dropping old habits, becoming a different person. There's the diet, like half our audience. My diet, like you, started January 1st. So on the 31st, Wednesday, I got myself a big giant bowl of a very good brand, the top brand of maple walnut ice cream with chocolate sauce on top. Listen, you get what you pay for when it comes to maple walnut, you know? I get the full half gallon, which these days I think is a little bit less than a half gallon, but I take the half gallon and I take out half of that, which is a quart, is it? I don't know. I'm not here to do metrics with you, but I put it in a big giant bowl, and then I went up to the cupboard and I grabbed some pancake syrup. Now, if I was a rich man, I would grab maple syrup. As it is, I had a colored flavored corn syrup thing, and I put that syrup on top of the maple walnut ice cream, and then I'll say, you know, just a little bit more can't hurt, and I'll squeeze out a little bit more on there, and then I'll go sit in front of the TV motionless so as to not burn off any calories whatsoever, and I will very happily eat that maple walnut ice cream with pancake syrup on top, which is one of the reasons I suspect that I get serious on the diet on Thursday. So this morning, my breakfast was a bowl of Raley's brand Raisin Bran, and I ate it with skim milk. This is what we sad, healthy people do. We eat this low-flavor, low-fat, low-salt food. And today I'm going to go over to the health club and pound the snot out of their treadmill and push real hard on various machines and stare at myself in the mirror. And this will help us live forever in our miserable little existence. Okay, now you know. But if you want to change anything for the new year, and I got to see if I remember this. Somebody smart said this, and it's been repeated by, well, mostly your grandmother ever since. But it's our thoughts determine our actions determine habits, and our habits determine our character. Or is it thoughts turn into deeds, and deeds turn into habits, habits turn into character? I should have looked it up. But the deal is, you get out a little bit and then a little bit more, and things develop and grow and they harden and they become a habit. So that, for example, you want to be a more grateful person. So you start with your thoughts and you say, well, I'm going to think about things to be grateful for. And then, okay, I'm going to look for them. Or let's say that I wanted to stop swearing. And I'll say to myself, that's a damn good idea, John. You ought to really get right after that, you some bitch. Forgive me, I apologize. Okay, so what I'm trying to say to myself if I decide, damn it, John, you got to stop swearing. The first thing is, I think in my head, okay, darn it, John, stop swearing. And if I swear again, no, John, stop swearing. And next time, you got to stop swearing. And then the habit is gone, and I like... just go out and live life. And after a while, the not swearing becomes not just a choice in that time, but it becomes the habit. And after a while of that, maybe months or years, who knows how long, but at a certain point, you know, it's the new you. You know, it becomes your character. And I would not want to swear. New Year's resolutions are our friends, you know. Our phone and text number is 775-884-9910. I got a few from last Saturday. Didn't have time to do these. This is from Jeff. On my family's tradition of having lasagna every Christmas, he writes, lasagna is great, but I think one of the greatest foods the Italians ever invented was porchetta. I have a friend in Idaho who has been to the town where porchetta was first created about 300 years ago. Okay, and yes, as I said last week, I happen to like lasagna. I think it's very good. It's like a layer cake made out of pasta. You Italians, it's one of your more brilliant things, honestly. Another text from the last show. Didn't have time to get this in. I forgot what this was about or what it was referring to. It says, John using a stick to guide a barrel hoop is called taming a hoop. My dad was born in 1905. He told me that when he saw old Norman Rockwell painting of a town scene where a boy in knickerbockers was doing that. Yeah, that was me. And another text, which I got, came in not last Saturday, but on New Year's Eve. So apropos. Happy New Year. Let your art be Italian. Let your food be French. Let your engineering be German. And your babysitter be English. Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Already at 10:30 here. So I'll be back and want to talk about, we had a new casino open up in downtown. It's been, what, decades since we had a new casino open up in downtown Reno? Want to talk about that and compare it to what Reno was back then. You might be interested in that if you're new to town. I'll paint you a picture. But also, I'd like the folks who have been here as long as I have to tell me what happened to downtown. I think that's a very good topic to bring up here. So we're going to break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft and be back very shortly. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Current temperature hadn't moved much at all. Started the show at 9 this morning. We have 41 degrees. Current Reno temperature is 43 degrees. Off and on, light rain going on right now. We have a crash eastbound 80 at Mustang at the moment in Sparks. Also, CHP says you'll need chains going west to Truckee, it looks like. And I looked at the camera pictures of the highway 80 in California, and it looks pretty crusty there with, I guess, frozen slush is what we see at Donner Summit, and a lot of snow on the sides of the highway and the median at the moment. So that's your update. Local news. Yeah, there's a new casino in downtown Reno. It's been ages since that's happened, but right now the Mint Casino is in operation at the site of the former Harrah's. It has a bar, has slots, and it's the first step of the new redevelopment. Boy, I guess they're serious. The new redevelopment for residential restaurants and retail. It's what they call the Reno Revival at the old Harrah's downtown hotel and casino. The Mint is kind of interesting. It is actually very, very much like the original Reno Harrah's Club, which started as just a bar with some gambling. Actually, it was a little bingo parlor, and Harrah's Club grew a very long way after that to become the huge hotel resort it was by, gosh, the 1970s, 80s, into the 90s. And from those first times I went to Harrah's in the 1970s, as I said, I'm going to try to paint you a picture. It had no, it was the first time I saw like a big building, no doors facing Virginia Street. It was just one long air curtain. Even in the winter, you'd be freezing cold walking on Virginia Street, and you would take one step into the air curtain going inside, and suddenly it was like summer. Another plus with the air curtain, you'd walk by and you would hear what's going on inside. That wonderful mix of live music and singers from the lounge at the time, and some yells from the crap table. And the crap table was situated right up front, about 3 feet away from the sidewalk at the entrance. great shows there. The biggest stars perform there. The Sapphire Room, great lounge. I loved Harris Steakhouse. The superb Italian restaurant on the upper level. Remember Cafe Andriotti? And I thought the buffet was very good. They all were, all the way to 2020 when it all closed. Why did it close? I think others know more about that than I would. I lived and loved Reno since the 1970s. I worked for a few years at the Sahara Reno, but I wasn't as involved in the casino industry as much as many other people were. But I do know that by the 1990s, I don't know why, but all the fun promotions that we used to do to draw people in just disappeared. And for some reason, they no longer catered to the army of tour buses that would bring in these hordes of gamblers 24/7. Sahara Reno, where I worked, even had this little bus terminal set up by the parking garage entrance. We had that many buses coming in, all full of players. And suddenly, those buses just disappeared. And then the big celebrities that were hired for shows eventually became not so big celebrities. And they started firing the musicians downtown. The casinos used to employ musicians. They had literal orchestras for shows and lounge acts. And that, when they fired the musicians, that was when I noticed downtown was dead. There was no music, no groups of people walking the sidewalk, no sound, because basically they took the fun away. And there was competition from 25 other states that had gambling by the 2000s, and also the tribes with legalized gambling. Maybe Reno just couldn't keep up. And then 2020, COVID, and here comes Sisolak shutting down restaurants and schools and ultimately Harrah's Club for good. I'm just speculating from what I saw. As I said, other people, I'm sure, know much more about this than me. But Reno was suddenly not unique anymore with the tourist trade. We ended the things that drew players here, and we just didn't keep up. And, you know, Reno repeated itself, because at one time, up to, I think, the early or mid-1960s, Reno was bigger than Las Vegas. Las Vegas rapidly overtook Reno. Why? I don't know if it was city government policy that would help that growth happen. I think I'm leaning on the fact that the casino owners there spent a lot more money improving and enlarging, and maybe we were just stuck in the original in the old days with the cheap casino owners, aside from Bill Harrah, that kept our growth down to where it was very minor. But anyway, if you know more than me, and that's everybody on every subject, 775-884-9910 is our number. What happened? And you know what? Don't misunderstand. I still love this town very much, and I still go downtown a couple of times a week. It's still a better place than anywhere else I've been, even downtown. So there, I still love going there. What else? There was again, our phone number, 884-9910. There was a milestone day in radio broadcasting this week honoring one of my idols of, well, see, I'm old, so I have idols from way back, and one of the greatest names in the history of broadcasting, the number one in my world, was Paul Harvey, and Thursday marked the 75th anniversary in Chicago of when Paul Harvey launched his national radio program, Paul Harvey News and Comment, where we all used to get together at noon every day and listen to this one-of-a-kind, colorful newscaster and premier storyteller. And that weekday 15-minute noon newscast marked a major turning point in his career, introducing his distinctive storytelling style. And that's what that was. And what was wonderful about him? He was deeply committed to preserving the history and the craft of broadcasting and just did everything great. And of course, as local broadcasters, we all listened to him and realized, well, we'd never be him. There was only one. So anyway, this week we had a modern day update to Paul Harvey News marking 75 years. The estate of the legendary Paul Harvey has sued Paramount, owners of CBS, in federal court for using a long clip from the legendary broadcaster in the Paramount Plus show Landman. Now, they used it apparently without permission. The suit states that Paramount, owners of CBS, misused a 92-second clip from a Harvey monologue on rising gas prices in a segment of Landman, and that the audio was edited by Paramount Plus producers in a way to show that Harvey opposed green alternative fuels. In reality, Harvey endorsed alternative fuels, but they cut that part out on Landman. Man, CBS and their editing. First Kamala on 60 Minutes and now this. But anyway, it's funny how even though you pass away, and Harvey passed away some time ago, it's funny how somehow your life just keeps coming back. And anyway, it was good to bring him up this morning. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff is calling about, I guess, Reno, talking about downtown and what he feels when he drives through Reno. Jeff, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my phone call. I just wanted to say about regarding the people coming into the casinos, I think a lot of it has to do with Indian gaming and the fact that there's gambling in every, probably except for maybe Alaska, Hawaii, or something. And it used to be it was only New Jersey and Nevada. That's one of the first things I think hurt the casino industry. And then also, you're referring to the buses. I remember, I live in Lake Tahoe, and I remember buses just like you remember. And what ended up happening is now all those buses go to, like, there's a casino in Placerville called Red Hawk. They just go there. They don't care about the snow. They don't care about the environment. They just want to gamble. And I think the fact that there's gambling in every state had a lot to do with sort of the decline of, you know, the gambling aspect of what Reno has to offer. Reno has much more to offer than just gambling.
True that. Jeff, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Good points. I will say, though, that you can step up and you can compete. A lot of people don't know this, but I was talking about how Reno was bigger than Vegas until the 60s, and then Vegas took over being bigger. Did you know before we had our nearby Indian casinos in Northern California, like Thunder Bay or whatever it's called, Las Vegas had Indian casinos in that general couple of hundred mile vicinity before we had them in Northern California. We had Southern California Indian casinos and Vegas, actually. But what did Vegas do? They competed against that, and they offered things that those Indian casinos could not offer. You can compete. You have to step up. You have to spend money and do it that way. But you know what? We're looking back in time and saying they should have done this. They should have done, which is kind of useless. But it's curious how, you know, we changed so much from, gosh, when I was here, 78, downtown was alive 24 hours. And there were people always walking the sidewalks, drinking their hand, dressed nice, in a totally different world in just a couple of decades. It just still blows my mind. I'm John Potter, live and local. Phone number 775-884-9910. Call now. And we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Happy New Year, back in a short while on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk FM News Talk Time, 1049.
Is FM Talk. There is.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Thank you for your calls and texts, which I just opened up a few. John, Nevada sunsets. Don't forget the double rainbows. I lived half a century in the Bay Area and never saw a double rainbow. Here in Reno and the surrounding areas, I've lost count. That was when I was talking to our visiting real estate agent about how people, when they move here, talk, oh, Nevada has the greatest sunsets and the greatest sunrises, which I agree with, but don't they happen everywhere? I mean, is it really? Are sunsets really that different? How come the other places don't get nice sunsets and stuff? I won't argue with you, but I can't figure that out. And Phil, thank you so much for texting. I don't know where I'm looking. You know me, I'm screwing up everything here. But when I came out at 9, the only chains required I found were on 80 California, west of Truckee. Well, you know, Phil knows everything. He says chains required on 80, the Mount Rose Highway, Route 88, and 50 is open with no controls. So thank you for that. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But Phil's heard that, heard me say that many times. So this is the first Saturday of the new year. And I think maybe we all have in us, I still have it today, a need to have a sense of new beginnings. Wondering what's ahead. Looking forward to some things we're expecting in the new year. Some things we plan to do. And there's a need, I think, to look back as well, need to take stock. It seems like a good day to ponder life, right? What did you accomplish and what did you not accomplish? Whatever else happened, there's one or some things you definitely accomplished last year. For one, you survived. You're still walking around, pal. Don't sell that short. That's what we need to be the most grateful for. And then there are those of us who are sort of grudgingly resigned to the relentless passage of time. We all have our favorite years. You know, I had a great 1979, my second year in Reno. And I remember staying up to midnight, December 31st, finding myself really annoyed that 1979 was turning into 1980 and that I had to say goodbye to the 70s. And I've been in a bad mood ever since. But what's your take on New Year's? I mean, for you, I mean, what are you planning? Maybe you can ask yourself these questions. You know, what are you hoping for or maybe afraid of seeing in 2026? One thing I would like to see in the new year is less of what I will call bad behavior. Like you, I see more and more examples of traffic violations, you know, speeding, especially in residential neighborhoods, running red lights, blowing through the stop signs. And I believe it's become a lot worse in the last 4 or 5 years or so. And it's evident in other ways, too, not just traffic, of course. We see so much of this corrosive political discourse, and I worry most about people becoming accustomed to it. And I worry about them, you know, especially the young, thinking that it's normal. Or how about this? In your whole life, I mean, ever before, even a few years ago, did you ever see or read stories about adult people doing things like getting into fistfights on airplanes? When did this happen? When I wasn't looking, I guess. And now we see this kind of thing everywhere, and it worries me, you know. And as we think about the new year, also we're thinking about changes, you know, changes we've experienced over the years past and changes we might expect in this year. And some of them are pretty momentous. Like I saw in the news this week for the first time in our racing fast digital age, there's a country that is ending postal letter delivery. Denmark is ending postal mail service. They announced it this week. They've done it for 400 years. Nobody there writes letters anymore. They say that letter writing has declined there by more than 90% over the past 25 years. They are going to deliver packages by mail, but no more letters. And I think Denmark may be the first to drop letter delivery, but it's not going to be the last, not in this increasingly digitized society and increasingly digitized world. And you know, it's not just Denmark. Letter writing is in decline everywhere. You hardly see it at all here in the U.S. I don't think they're going to stop letter delivery in this country. We're probably going to be the last place where that happens, because mostly because of the massive volume of junk mail that we all get, right? That keeps the Postal Service afloat, I think. But I mention this because it's an example, and a very stark example, of this transition that we are all living through, that has me thinking, boy, I was born too late. This transition into a fully digitized society, you know, with AI, everybody's talking about AI now. It's either going to be great or it's going to be an unimaginable horror. It's a transition that is every bit as momentous and consequential as the transition we saw from what? Probably from going from being an agrarian society to an industrial society 200 years ago. That's how big this is. All right, Fox News is up next. Then we're going to be talking about Douglas County Schools. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1 FM Talk.